Thank you. Love you guys. I come in agreement with that, with what Candace said. Isn't there a sweet spirit in the room right now? I want to preach. No, you could get that. You could get that dramatic music. You could turn it down. I want to preach. Like, I need like an organ. Like, like, I'm ready for that kind of preaching. Cause there is such a great anointing in the room, and I feel it. Do you guys feel it? Am I crazy? Isn't there a great anointing in the room right now? Isn't the Holy Spirit here right now? Come on, can we give God a round of praise? Say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here in this church. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here in this youth group. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we are not here just to cultivate a YMCA group. We are a church that welcomes the Holy Spirit, and you show up every week. Did you guys know that before, this is a rant, this is not part of my notes, that before Jesus died on the cross, you could not come into the presence of God as freely as we are now? That before, if you entered the presence of God, the Holy of Holies, and you had any sin in your life, you would drop dead. But when Jesus, some of you guys might not know this, when Jesus died on the cross, and he said, it is finished, and his blood was shed for you and me and all of our sins, at that moment, sin lost its worth. Jesus paid the price for it. And the Bible says that there was a veil torn. There was actually a veil that people would go into. If, like I said, the Holy of Holies, you had to be sinless. You had to be perfect. That veil ripped in half. We, from the top down, the moment Jesus died, the veil that held us away from the presence of God was ripped in half. And that was so symbolic to saying, there's nothing holding us back anymore. I'm not going to let your sin hold us back anymore. Because the moment that Adam and Eve sinned, there was a separation where we could not be in his presence anymore. Are you getting this, church? We serve a God that paid the price for us to be in his presence. We don't have to worry about our sin anymore. We don't have to worry about anything holding us back. Every other religion in the world, you have to do stuff to get something from your God. Well, you want to be forgiven by Muhammad? Okay, you got to do all this stuff. You got to, maybe if you do enough steps, if you do enough good deeds, then maybe you'll be forgiven. You want to reach nirvana in Buddhism? Okay, well, you got to do all these things. You got to get all the, no. Christianity says, I paid the price for you, boo-boo. You can come to me freely today. I feel the Holy Spirit. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Like I said, I just want to give God thanks for being in this room. If you go to a church where they are not grateful that the Holy Spirit shows up, I don't want to be that church. I want to be that church where every time we feel the Spirit of God move, we're like, thank you, Jesus, for paying the price for us. Thank you that we can be here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I also, you know, there's a magazine called The Voice of the Martyrs where I encourage you guys to subscribe to it. I don't do magazines. Okay, whatever. Sign up for their email. Where it talks about churches all across the world that are being persecuted because there's churches in Asia where they have to meet underground in order to just meet like this, and they have to be quiet because if they're too loud, then they're going to get caught and they're going to get thrown in jail by the government and they might even be beheaded. There's some countries that are run by Islamic terrorists where if they find out you converted to Christianity, they're going to behead you that very day. I'm so thankful that we live in we're in a church right now where we can give God praise, we can shout as loud as we want, we can dance, we can sing, and we don't gotta worry about any of that stuff. I encourage you young people to be thankful. I encourage you young people to be thankful that we serve a God who loves us radically enough to where he wants to be with us so bad that he tore the veil. And that we're so blessed to be a church here in Pico Rivera, where we could be as loud as we want, amen? I mean, the worst we're gonna get is maybe some complaints from the neighbors, from the elderly home right here. But honestly, I hope they come in here, you kids are being too loud, and then they get filled with the Spirit. I would like that. That would be a great Wednesday or Sunday for me, amen? Amen. All side points. I wanna get to the sermon that I have for you guys today. And you guys already know I say this almost every time I get up here. Anything I'm preaching to you is something the Holy Spirit is speaking to me in my life, because I don't believe that I should be speaking anything that the whole, I want to give you guys a fresh word. I want to give you guys a today word, something the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. And so the best preaching that comes out of my mouth is something that the Holy Spirit is working in me in this very moment, in this very day. So I'm going to preach to you guys what the Holy Spirit has been telling me to work on, telling me to focus on in my life, and then we can practice it together, amen? I'll be the first to tell you that I'm not perfect, and not even close. You can ask anyone who works with me, ask JC. JC sees a ton of my flaws, but yet JC still honors me. And so I just want to say thank you guys for honoring me and letting me speak into your lives today. And I'm going to speak to you what the Holy Spirit is working in me and cultivating it. I never want to get to a place where I think I have arrived as a Christian. I hope you never get to that place either. That's called a Pharisee who thinks that you are perfect and you don't need any correction. And I'm a great Christian. And Jesus said that he called them a brood of vipers and he spit them out of their mouth. He said, you guys are disgusting to me. So I want to make sure that I'm constantly humble and saying, God, speak to us as a youth group. That's how I want to lead this youth group. Amen? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay, so what the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me in my life, can you guys get the Philippians verse? This is where we're going to park today in this verse in Philippians. You guys all heard this, especially if we went to a Christian school and everyone had to pick their life verse. Come on, there's all those life verses. There's Jeremiah where it's like, what is the big verse in Jeremiah that everyone loves? Jeremiah 29:11, where what does it say? It just escaped my mind, right? For I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. And then, like, that's everyone's verse. They're like, oh, I love this verse, and this is my life verse. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's my life verse. And everyone has these cutesy little life verses, and they're like, yeah. Most of the time, if you ask someone what their life verse is, they'll say it to you, and then you'll say, what does the verse before that say? And they're like, eh. And then you say, have you even read that chapter? Have you read that full chapter? Well, yeah, of course I have. I read the Bible in a year one time. Oh, okay, so like, do you know what that chapter was talking about? What the context is? Well, I forgot. Wow, you forgot your life chapter? That's interesting. Anyways, that's just side point. It's just very interesting to me. A lot of the time, people are interesting. So anyways, I want to read a verse to you that a lot of people make as their life verse. Philippians 4:13. How many of you guys know it? Don't put it on the screen. Don't put it on the screen, guys. How many of you guys know it? Come on. Say it with me. Ready? I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength. Right? Everyone knows that verse. Does anyone know the context of what the verses before that are talking about? A couple of people got it. Ooh, a couple of people got it. I'm so proud of you guys. Okay, great. Yeah, and the J in the back. He's got it in the back. Yeah, exactly. So we're going to read it together so that no one feels bad if you don't know, because we're going to read it together, and then you will now know after today. Isn't it a great blessing coming to church? Amen? We'll read the word together. I encourage you to read the word in your free time, but we're going to learn tonight what the verses before Philippians 4:13 are. Let's start at verse 6. I encourage you guys, if you have your Bibles, to turn to that. If not, look up right here. It says, be anxious for nothing. This is another verse that people know. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Next. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Remember we talked about peace when we talked about the fruits of the Spirit, how peace is a person. It's not just a little meditation and lighting a candle and soaking in a bubble bath. Peace is Jesus. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, this is Leanna's life verse. One of my best friends. This is one of her life verses. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely. I love that word, lovely. Sounds pretty. Isn't she lovely? Isn't she wonderful? Whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Anything. Is there anything good going on in your life? One thing? That's what you're supposed to be thinking on, the Word of God says. One thing. There's one lovely thing, one praiseworthy thing. These things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, this is the apostle speaking, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Continue. But this is the part that we're really going to park and listen to. I just wanted to give you all freebies because that was such a great thing to think about. Like, I should really be focused on what I'm talking about and what I'm complaining about. That was all freebies, but this is really where we're going to preach on tonight, what I'm going to preach on tonight. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at last, your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in regard to need, For I have learned, this is where we're going to start. For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Whatever state I'm in, to be content. Whatever state I'm in, to be content. I know how to be, help me say that word, abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer a need. Continue. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So before he says, I could do all things through Christ that strengthens me, it's funny, he's literally talking about being able to be content when he's full and when he's hungry, when his life is great and when his life is not so great, when he's shipwrecked and when he's next to a warm fire being greeted by people, when the church is giving him lots of money to preach and when he preaches to another church where they didn't have so much money and now he's suffering. Every single season in his life, he said, I have learned to be content, which now gives context to verse 13 that says, in all of this, what is, another version says, I have learned the secret of being content. What is the secret, Shayla? How can I be content in every single sucky or good season in my life? I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength. I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength. Because when you decide that Jesus is enough for me, there's a song that says, Christ is enough for me, yeah. Look at me, I'm all cocky just because I sang karaoke last week. Now I'm like singing during my sermon. In every single season of my life, when I decide that Jesus is enough, no matter what, no matter if I am single or married, no matter if I have minimum wage or I just got a pay raise, no matter if I'm living with my mom and dad still, or your girl just bought a new condo, in every single season, whether I'm in the valley or whether I'm on the mountaintop, whether I'm in good health or whether my health is not doing so good, no matter what season you are in, winter, summer, spring, fall, you are just so content because you have decided. Say the word decided. I have decided that Jesus is enough for me, and I have decided that through him, he gives me the strength to endure all things in every single season of my life. Every single season of my life. Ooh, that's so good. Contentment is not having what you want, but it's wanting what you have. Put it on the screen. I'm going to say it again. Contentment is not having what you want or not having everything that you want. I'll rephrase it. Contentment is not having everything that you want. It's wanting everything that you have. If you get to a place in your life where you are just genuinely thankful, like we just practiced it right now. We're not coming to church and we're like, I hope she has a good sermon. I didn't like that song in worship. It wasn't my favorite. If you come in and you're like, holy Jesus, you are good. I feel your presence here tonight. I'm thankful. I don't deserve to be in your presence, but your son, he tore the veil for me. He forgave my sin. I am so thankful that I can stand here before you holy and righteous and blameless, and I can give you the praise, and I don't have to worry about the government coming and taking over me. I don't have to worry about being too loud or my friends or my family being beheaded. When you just come in a place where you're just thankful to be in church, you're just thankful to give praise to God, you're just thankful that you can feel his presence. That's when you learn contentment. When you're just thankful for every season of your life, even when things aren't going so great. Even when things aren't going so great. You say, God, I'm thankful for everything that's already in my life. And I'm not talking about hipster minimalism where you're like, you know, oh, I'm trying to cut back on the stuff I buy. I invested in a metal straw and I only buy organic cotton, and I'm trying to live off 5 t-shirts a year, and I'm trying to practice minimalism, and I ride my bike, and I'm just thankful for those little things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about trendy minimalism. I'm talking about being truly thankful for what's in front of you. So whether you ride a bike, or whether you have a car, whether you drive a Prius, holla at your girl, that you're just thankful for that. Because you realize that you already have everything. You literally already have everything that you need. Because if you died, you would be in the presence of the Lord. And I'm not just talking about, oh, yes, Shayla, I know that for all eternity I'm going to be happy. I'm talking about being happy here on earth right now. And I'm not even talking about fake happiness. Like, I'm just going to fake being happy because that's what I need to do as a Christian. I need to put on a smile and all this stuff. I'm talking about you are genuinely so thankful for the things that God's already given you that you don't need to fake it because you genuinely have found everything in Jesus Christ. The problem is that most of the church today doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, which is why they complain when things aren't going their way. Which is why when you... which is why we have a church that likes to pray for stuff. And when we don't get the stuff in our timing... Jesus, I wanted to be married by 2020. Jesus, I wanted to have a house by 2020. Jesus, I wanted that promotion already. Jesus, how come I'm still living with my parents? Jesus, how come I'm eating top ramen and I'm in college? How come? Because your life is not all about you. But when you focus on Jesus and he becomes your everything, you don't care. You don't care. You are so satisfied in him. You're satisfied in him. You wake up every day and you're like, thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you that I can feel you, Holy Spirit, in the morning. Thank you that I have the gift of speaking in tongues. Thank you that I have communion with you every single day. I feel bad for other religions where they're praying to a God that is dead and gone and can't hear them. I'm telling you right now, brother, sister, you have a God. You serve a God. You are his daughter. You are his son. And he is moving behind the scenes even when you can't see him. He is moving behind the scenes when you cannot see him. He is not dead. And just because you can't see him does not mean he is not moving. And just because he's not working on your time clock doesn't mean he doesn't have something coming for you. I think a lot of us, if we would just be content in where we're at, the promise of God might come a little bit sooner, but he's got to delay it because it's like, Shayla, why in the world? I'm speaking to myself. I'm preaching to myself so that it can make it a little bit easier for you guys to swallow this medicine. Why in the world would I send you a man of God when you are content in just me right now when you're single? Hello? You know what the Holy Spirit told me? Some of my best friends are either in a relationship or married. Miranda Joaquin, married. Leanna and Jesse, married. Candace and Joel, in a relationship. And I started making kind of jokes, not seriously. I wasn't like, crying. But I would make jokes like, I'm the third wheel. And the Holy Spirit said, shut up, you're not a third wheel. You're not a third wheel. Stop saying that about yourself. You're not a third wheel. You are whole. You are whole. You're called to be content in me. And if I never send you a husband, are you okay with that? I have to think about it for a second. Come on. I said, yes, God, I'm content in that. It's okay. You're one step closer. I think if we would just choose to be content in the season that you're called to right now. Some of y'all are called to eat top ramen right now because you're broke college students. That's the season you're in. Stop trying to go out for a freaking Olive Garden all the time. That's not the season you're in. I'll tell you something right now. This is going to hurt some people. If you're in debt right now, I'm not talking about college debt. I'm talking about just debt because you like to buy too much stuff. That's a sign of discontentment. Because you're saying, I'm not content with the clothes I have on my back. I'm not content with the way I look. I'm not content with what I have. I have to keep buying to find happiness, to find satisfaction in order to satisfy myself because I'm not just completely fulfilled and satisfied and whole in who you are, Jesus. I have to buy stuff. And that sounds crazy to us. It's like, we think that addiction is only comes into the forms of drugs, alcohol, and sex. Those are the three addictions. No, 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 no. We got some shopping addiction. We got some food addiction, some gluttony addiction, some social media addiction. If you know what I love? Thank you. I believe the Holy Spirit's doing something in Apple because they made that feature where it tells you how much time you spend on your phone every day. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just believe the Holy Spirit probably spoke to the CEO and said, why don't you do that? Because you can remind my people how much time they're spending on their phone. Well, I use my phone for work and school. Oh, really? The how come it says Instagram 10 hours? Are you an Instagram model? I don't think so. Okay. Yikes. Well, I use it for ministry. Oh, yeah? Let me see your Instagram and let me see how much ministry is on there. Come on. It's really, I've said this before, but it is really easy to trust God, serve God, love God at camp, and when life is going good, and you just got married, and you got you just got a promotion. But God has not lowered his standard for you in the times of the valley. Matter of fact, a lot of the times we see David, the psalmist, he's crying out to God a lot of the time in the middle of the battle when it looks like he's lost everything. And that's when his heart cries, God, even though my enemies are all around me, I'm choosing to trust you. Some of us don't want to hear this, but the truth is sometimes God will allow things to happen. I'm not saying he causes them to happen. Look at Job. The devil wanted to attack Job. And God said, okay, go for it. Take everything he has. And you'll see that my servant, Job, he truly loves me, and not just for the stuff. I think sometimes we need to ask ourselves. Now, I'm telling you right now, you need to ask yourself, do I love God for the stuff? Or do I love God because if I serve God, he's going to give me a man? If I serve God, he's going to give me a man of God. If I don't, I'm going to get, some guy who's going to cheat on me. You know? Oh, well, if I serve God, then I'm going to get a pay raise. If I tithe, that's when I'm really going to be blessed in life. We need to be really careful that we're serving God because we're just content with him. We're just satisfied in him. We just love him. We're like, oh, Jesus, if you didn't do another thing for me. There might be a season in your life where God just tells you, stop asking for stuff. I don't think it's wrong for us to pray for stuff. I pray for stuff. I'll just tell you this once again, not in my notes. Let me just go on a little rant here. I've prayed for a ton of stuff that God has given me. I prayed for my first smartphone when I was 17 years old and I was becoming an intern and I was broke and I couldn't afford a smartphone. The Holy Spirit set me up to where I got, not only got a smartphone, but it was being paid for every month. For years, every single year as an intern, I never once paid for my phone. I prayed for that. I was like, God, I want a smartphone. He said, okay, give it to me. I prayed for my teeth. My teeth were really jacked up and ugly and all crooked and it cost a lot of money to fix them. And I said, God, I want to be a preacher. I want to be a speaker. And I don't want to be self-conscious about smiling and speaking. He said, okay, opened up a door for me to get these discounted. I prayed for my car, my very first car. I was driving a Lexus XR300, I think that's how you say it. And God set that up. Told someone in the church to bless my family with that car. I prayed, and then that car was like taking up so much gas, it was ridiculous. Literally, I was spending like $60 to $80 a week in gas, it was ridiculous. It was a great car, I loved that car, but it took up a lot of gas, and I'm on a youth pastor salary. So I was like, Holy Spirit, I'm spending way too much money on gas. Can you do me a favor? I don't want to just go out and buy any car. You open up a door for a car to fall in my lap, just like last time. Sure enough, I got that Prius. That Prius with only 100,000 miles on it, that beautiful Prius, $3,000. I got that car for a steal with a brand new battery put in it too. Brand new battery. They said, you don't need to do anything to this car. This car is like new. I'm not saying it's bad to pray for stuff. I pray for a lot of stuff. I just named a lot of materialistic stuff I prayed for. But you better examine your heart and make sure you are not serving God for this good stuff that comes with serving a good God and a good Father. Amen. Woo. And a lot of the time, we're in the trial, we're in the hardship. And like I said, that is when refining happens. That's when we're supposed to serve him. And I'm not saying to be content with the trial. Be content in the trial. Be content in the trial, not with the trial. Recognize it's a trial. Ooh, call it what it is. The Holy Spirit's been teaching me that too. So start calling things what they are. This is an attack from the enemy. This is an attack from the enemy. This is a trial. This is a blessing. Because sometimes it's a coincidence. I got a good deal on a Prius. No, I didn't. That was a blessing, and I'm going to call it what it is. God had my provision. God had my back. Favor ain't fair. Hello. Favor ain't fair. Hello. And I just need to start calling things for what they are. So you go ahead and call it for the trial that it is. Say, I know I'm in a trial right now. But you know how you snap out of that mentality of complaining? Because honestly, complaining is the poison of thankfulness. Wow. Complaining is the poison of thankfulness. And it will take away your thankfulness so fast when you start complaining. It just like eats it up like an acid. Like it starts eating up all the thankfulness in your heart. And next thing you know, you're mad at God because you don't have everything that you want. Watch your heart. Don't get into complaining. Don't go there. Just call it for what it is. I'm in a trial right now. But I thank you, Jesus, that just like Job, you have love and favor on me. And I believe that after I come throughout this storm, when I'm done with this valley, when I'm done with this mile, I'm going into the next. And when I do, I'm going to be just like Job, and you're gonna bring this back sevenfold to me. Do you know that? Job lost everything. He went from being rich to losing it all to having seven times what he had in the very beginning. And I believe that we are people that is thankful and grateful, and we love and we're satisfied and we're content in who we are in the middle of the trial. You will come out more satisfied than you ever were. More satisfied than you ever were. Come on. Good, good, good. Because I wrote this down. I put contentment will never be found in the next season if you can't cultivate it in your current season. Contentment will never be found in the next season if you cannot cultivate it in your current season. I use that word very purposefully, cultivate, because contentment is something that you cultivate in your heart. It's a decision. It's a choice. Remember we used that word earlier, decision. You have to decide that Jesus is enough for you. You have to choose to be content in the current season. And a lot of the time, the lie of the enemy, he's been doing it since the very beginning. Once I have this, I'll be happy. Once I have that, I'll be happy. When I'm married, I'll be happy. When I have that promotion, when I have that job, when I have all this stuff, when I get healed, I'll be happy. Guys, let me drop a revelation here. Adam and Eve were in paradise. Paradise. There was nothing wrong with their lives. They were literally naked, running around. La, 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 la. I have my beautiful husband. I have my beautiful spouse. We get to run around the garden naked. We get to literally be in paradise with the presence of God with us 24/7. And yet, the enemy lied to Eve and told her, you don't have enough. Once you take a bite of that apple, then you'll be satisfied. Then you'll be content. How is it that literally their lives were perfect? They were living in paradise with the presence of God with them 24/7. And yet the enemy was able to lie to her and convince her that she had something that was held back from her. And that as soon as she had that thing, then she would be happy. You think the enemy's not going to come to you and convince you when your life is not paradise? Hello, I'm telling you right now, my life is not paradise. I wish it was, but it is not. I'm living in a fallen world. My life, there's chaos all around a lot of the time. And that is when the enemy comes to me and he tells me, as soon as you have this, then you'll be happy. You'll be content once you get this, once you get that. And if the enemy can deceive Eve, living in a perfect world, you call that lie for what it is, and you say, enemy, devil, you are a worm beneath my feet. What you say has no power in my life. I call that a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus is enough for me. I combat that lie by speaking truth. And I say, I quote Proverbs. Well, you know what Proverbs says? Let me quote it for you first. I just realized I didn't say it. Proverbs says that hell is never satisfied. That hell is never satisfied. I don't think it's Proverbs 27. I don't think it's a stretch for me to say that when you choose to never be satisfied with where you're at, you're bringing a little bit of hell onto earth. You're living hell on earth when you say, I'm never satisfied with what I have currently. I'm always going to want something else to be happy. Stop living hell on earth. Stop believing the lie of the enemy. Be smarter than that. You guys have better teaching than that, amen, in this church. Be smarter than that, amen. Do not live hell on earth. You call that life for what it is. You say, Satan, you're beneath my feet. And I'm content with where I'm at. I'm content in every season. You do what Jesus did when the devil came to him. You start to quote scripture back at him. You start to quote Philippians and say, Jesus is my strength. Through all things, Jesus is my strength. I find strength in him. And whatever you're trying to tempt me with right now, do you know lust? Do you know what lust is? Because we think lust is when you really want to have sex. No, lust is when you convince yourself that you cannot be happy without something. And you begin to want that thing so bad that you tie your happiness to an object or to a person. When you begin to tell yourself you'll be satisfied once you have that, that is lust. You can lust for a house, you can lust for a car, you can lust for a person, you can lust for a lot of things, sister. So do not let the enemy put lust in your heart. Begin to lie and deceive to you, because that's what she did with Eve. She just lied to her and said, once you have that, you'll be satisfied. The Lord's holding something back from you. And it's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Ooh. I think that's all my points I have. I'm going to end on this. I am tired of depending on circumstances to love my life. I am tired of waiting on circumstances to love my life. And I am choosing to love my life for what it is in this very moment now. I'm choosing. It's all about, like we said, a decision, a choice. And I'm going to, like I said, be vulnerable and use me as an example. You know, the Holy Spirit has revealed to me that I will never have as much free time as I do now as a single woman. Think about it. When I have a husband, when I have kids, married people and people with kids in the room can testify it's true. I need to take joy and delight. I need to take joy and delight. Wow, I've never had more time in my life to write as many sermons as I do right now. I might feel busy, but the truth is I have so much free time right now to write sermons. And I need to value that. I need to be content with that. I need to be happy that I have this much free time. For some of you guys, you're like, I'm a young adult, and I just really wish I had a boyfriend. Nah, nah, nah. This is a time right now in your life where you could really focus on your schooling, girlfriend. You could really focus on traveling. I was able to travel to Israel in 2017. It was such a blessing to me in my life. But if I had kids, yikes, I probably couldn't have done that. Leave little Timmy alone for 7 days? I don't think so. It's all a matter of perspective. I won't name my kid Timmy, I promise you. Lord help me. My point is personalize it for your life. Because right now I'm using my singleness as an example. Also another thing, super vulnerable. Are we Facebook Live in this? God, I hate that. not because I don't like it going out, but I'm going to be vulnerable with you right now. Right now I'm living with my mom and dad, so therefore I'm not really paying high rent. And I'm going to be like, thank you, Jesus, that this is a time where I can give more than I ever have before. This is a time where I don't have to, where right now I'm saving money because of that. And so instead of me being like, oh, I just really wish I could get my own place, I'm just going to be like, shut up. Why don't I be thankful that my mom and dad just happen to be living in the place that God called me so I don't have to. There's some people who, I have a lot of friends in LA where it's like, oh, I would live with my parents if I could, but my parents are in North Carolina, you know? I'm just thankful that my mom and dad just happened to be in the place where I've been called so that I can get free rent until I'm married. Thank you, Jesus. Do you get my point? Everything is a matter of perspective. Everything is a matter of you choosing to be content. Everything is with you being satisfied in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Everything. And the reason that Jesus is enough for some of us is because we don't We don't spend time with him. He isn't enough for us because we don't want him. We want stuff. We want relationships. We want people. We want objects. You'll be satisfied when you just want him. But it has to be a heart change. It has to be a heart change. Personalize it for you. Personalize it for you. I was just vulnerable and I used my life, but personalize it for you. I'm just going to pray over this youth group right now. I don't feel led right now to do a major altar call. I don't feel led. I feel like we as a youth group need to repent for not being content. That's what I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying. We need to repent. I need to repent. God, forgive every single time I've complained about my current situation, the current season that you have put me in. I repent for every single time that I tried to take control of my life because I thought I knew better for my life than you do. Holy Spirit, we repent for being that type of youth group that is just not fully satisfied in you, Jesus. I pray for every single youth, young adult in this room. And I say, Jesus, help us to be satisfied with you. Help us to be content with you. Help us to find our strength in you, Jesus. Help us just to be so thankful for your presence, so thankful for who you are. We're so thankful with Jesus Christ that if we never got another thing in our entire life, we're okay with it. If we never got another blessing, if we never got another prayer answered, if today was the last day that you ever answered a prayer in our life, we're satisfied. We thank you, Jesus, that you're not that God. You are moving behind the scenes. You are answering prayers. You're still moving to this day. You still do miracles. And we trust in you. We trust in you, Jesus. I've just gotten comfortable with not moving sometimes. I know it's awkward for some people, but I'm just comfortable right now. I'm just waiting to hear what the Holy Spirit says to do next. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in this place. Thank you for calling us, God, to a higher place. God, we're just so satisfied in you. I declare that over this youth group, that we are satisfied with you. We are satisfied with you. You are enough for us. You are good. We call you that, Jesus. November is the month of Thanksgiving, God. I don't think it's a coincidence that you're speaking this right now. I pray that you would just help us to be a more thankful people, Jesus. That you would just do a healing work in our hearts, God. I want to pray for every single person who's in debt right now. I break off that bondage of debt in your life. The bondage in your life that tells you you need to buy more stuff to be satisfied. In the name of Jesus, break off of their life. Every curse, every stronghold of lust and discontentment, you must go in the name of Jesus. I say you have no place in these young people's lives. And I declare healing and wholeness and contentment and satisfaction all of the days of their life, Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.